Hi everyone, I'm Ahana.
And I'm Celine.
And welcome back to another episode at the
We Are Podcast.
So today we have a news update.
Yeah, and there are some pretty big ones. We were planning on doing another episode, but we'll save that for another week. There were like a lot of big updates this week, so it's going to be...
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start us off with the biggest one of the week, and this is really devastating, and it kind of like sheds light onto like just like hate crimes and a lot of, it's just really terrible. But anyways, it was a shooting at a Q club, which is like an LGBTQ plus like club where people go, and basically it happened in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and a gunman entered the Q club on Saturday, November 19th. It was just before midnight, and he immediately opened fire and killed at least 5 people and injured 25 more. So it was really devastating. And the victims of the shooting are Raymond Green Vance, Kelly Loving, Daniel Aston, Derek Rump, and Ashley Paw. And Club Q, as I said, it was like a safe place for the LGBTQ plus community. And until recently, it was actually one of the only LGBTQ clubs in Colorado Springs. And they have like a lot of things like drag performances and shows, parties, drinks, pride celebrations, and more. So it's basically just a safe haven for like that community and a place that they can go and like express themselves and feel welcome. And the suspect, the shooter, was identified as Anderson Lee Aldrich, who's 22 years old, and he had a long rifle, which he used in the shooting. And then they also found 2 other firearms at the scene. So he faces charges of 5 counts of first-degree murder and 5 counts of bias-motivated crime, which is basically just a hate crime. So specifically targeting, like, a population. And he was hospitalized after being subdued by 2 people. There were actually 2 really heroic people who, like, subdued him at the scene and, like, knocked him to the ground. So he was injured because of that, but they were able to actually prevent more tragedy, which is really, like, just brave of them and really amazing. Colorado Springs Police Chief Adrian Vasquez said, quote, "At least 2 heroic people inside the club confronted and fought with the suspect and were able to stop the suspect. We owe them a great debt of thanks." And yeah, I totally agree. I think it's just really heroic what they did, and they were able to save a lot of lives. And in terms of Aldrich, who is the shooter, just some information on him. In 2016, he actually changed his name. Before he was Nicholas F. Brink, but he petitioned a Texas court to change his name, and they're not sure like why he did that, but just before his 16th birthday, he asked a district court in Bexar County to allow him to legally change his name to Anderson Lee Aldrich, and a judge granted the petition days later. So it's just, yeah, it's interesting that he changed his name. And then the defense attorney for Aldrich also wrote in court filings that he's non-binary, which is interesting. And then this is kind of like a big thing. He was previously charged with felony menacing and first-degree kidnapping after allegedly making a bomb threat last year. So sheriff's deputies responded to a report by the man's mother saying he was, quote, "threatening to cause harm to her with a homemade bomb, multiple weapons, and ammunition," according to the release. And he also refused to comply with orders to surrender. But it's really weird because the charges were later dropped and the records were sealed. And it's not clear, like, why they were sealed. But, like, if he had this, like, past history of, like, a bomb threat, how he was able to get access to, like, a gun is just really odd to think about. And Colorado has a red flag law that's specifically aimed at temporarily, like, removing gun access from people who were, deemed a danger to themselves and others. So in this case, like with the bomb threat, he would be a danger to his mother and could be a danger to himself. But it wasn't applied to Aldrich since the bomb threat thing was dropped, which is, yeah, it's just very a weird situation that, like, obviously this isn't the first time he's, like, committed a crime or, like, it's been shown that he's very troubled. But he's scheduled to have his first court appearance on Wednesday, which will include the advisement of the arrest charges as well as advisement of bond conditions, said Colorado's 4th Judicial District Attorney Michael Allen. And so the shooting was just a huge deal because, you know, as I said, it shed light on a lot of things. And Biden actually talked a lot about it. He called for congressional action, and he specifically wanted an assault weapons ban. So, like, people like him couldn't ever have access to assault weapons to begin with because they're banned. But, like, with our Congress, it's really divided, and to pass legislation, you would need a certain amount of, like, votes. So it's really unlikely that the assault weapon ban that Biden wants is actually ever going to be passed. But, yeah. So then, in terms of just, like, this isn't the first time that, like, this community has specifically been targeted. Like, in 2018, the FBI found that nearly 19% of hate crimes stem from LGBTQ plus bias, which is really just devastating. And then in 2020, hate crimes against Black, Asian, and LGBTQ plus people hit record highs. So they're kind of, like, increasing. They're becoming more frequent. And yeah, it's really terrible.
Yeah, it's a really sad thing for a lot of people, and it's really also sad because, like, there was, like, two people, I think, like, one of them was an unarmed former veteran, and then the other one was, like, an unarmed drag queen, and they were able to stop the shooter before, like, anything, like, could get worse. But in, like, the Uvalde school shooting, there was, like, over 300 armed policemen, and they couldn't even stop the shooter. So it kind of just goes to show, like, it's just something interesting to look at, that, like, that two unarmed people were able to stop a shooter, but all these, like, police force in the Uvalde school shooting couldn't do anything.
Right. It is really interesting just to see that. And it's, you know, we're very grateful for those two people just because it saved a lot of lives and it prevented more tragedy from taking place.
Yeah. That being said, we'll move on to our next news update, which is about Donald Trump. So Donald Trump was our former president who basically was president from 2016 to 2020. And in 2020, he ran again for re-election, but he lost to our current president, Joe Biden, and basically said that the election was stolen from him, that it was a sham, and basically that, like, the counting of votes was, like, rigged, which his, like, you know, denial of the election results basically caused a riot at the Capitol, which we now know as, like, the January 6th insurrection. And because of that, there was, like, a lot of, like, turmoil in the U.S., especially, like, in politics about his role in the insurrection, because the insurrection, like, killed, like, six people, and it was, or I don't know the exact, I kind of forget the exact number, but they definitely killed around six people and, like, harmed many others. It was just a really devastating time. It was just a very devastating time. So that's kind of, like, where his sort of questioning began for his sort of presidency. And that's one of the main things that, like, have kind of, people have been, like, wondering if he's going to try running again after that. But recently, Trump announced that he was going to run again for president of the United States. He said this, I am announcing my candidacy for president of the United States in his Mar-a-Lago club and home in Palm Beach, Florida. So this announcement comes weeks after the midterms, which happened, like, a couple weeks ago, and we actually had a news update about that, like, last week or the week before that. And, you know, I think it's interesting that he's willing to run again, because the midterm election results, like, there was not a lot, as many Republican wins as he thought there would be. And there's, like, a lot of, like, polls done about his elections that are kind of, like, sort of questionable, and a lot of people are wondering, like, what's gonna happen, because people are, like, losing their enthusiasm or their support for Joe Biden, which is our current president. So they're, like, because of that, Trump may have a chance again, but also because of the insurrection and, like, the different things that are going on surrounding Trump's presidency, they don't really know if people would be willing to vote for him either. So it's going to be interesting to see. President Joe Biden hasn't officially announced his re-election campaign, but he said that he intends to run for re-election. So it's likely that they'll end up going against each other again. The number one issue that they want to be debating about is inflation, and basically the economy and money type stuff, because inflation is just basically prices going higher at a rapid rate and increasing, and everything's sort of just becoming more expensive. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And another thing to note is that the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in a Democratic rule, under a Democratic president. So a lot of people who voted Democratic for abortion rights will likely vote Republican because Roe v. Wade already got overturned under a Democratic election, or vice versa. People would want to support Democrats more for abortion rights. So that's going to be sort of interesting to watch. And yeah, that's basically all for that update.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. Are you ready for the next update?
Yeah.
Okay, so sorry. The next update is about University of Idaho student killings. And this is just really interesting because it's still unsolved. They haven't figured out who the killer is. They don't have a whole ton of leads, so it's just interesting because yeah. So basically, the police recently uncovered the bodies of four University of Idaho students last Sunday on November 13th, and the bodies were discovered in their shared off-campus home in the town of Moscow. So as I said, police don't have a suspect in custody. They don't they don't have a suspect at all, actually. They haven't identified a murder weapon, but there are a lot of investigations underway. And the four students were stabbed to death, so they're trying to figure out who was the murderer, basically. And the police have fielded 646 tips and have conducted over 90 interviews, so they're definitely making progress. They're doing all they can to solve this. But it's a really scary time at the University of Idaho. Many teachers are canceling classes, students are leaving early because the police have not been able to say if it's deemed a danger to the general public, so it could be unsafe for them to be at campus. It could be unsafe for them to go to their classes when the killer is still on the loose. So two of the victims, Ethan Chapin and Zanna Kernodle, attended a fraternity party on Saturday for an hour, and then the other two victims, Kaylee Goncalves and Madison Mogan, were at a local sports bar from 10 p.m. to 1:30 a.m., and then they were seen ordering from a food truck. So the man who manages the food truck said that the two didn't seem in distress. There was no apparent danger. And then by 1:45 a.m. on Sunday, all four of the victims were back at their home. And investigators said they didn't believe that the driver was involved in the death, so he's kind of been ruled not the killer. But according to the police, just before noon on Sunday, a call from 911 was received about a quote unconscious individual. And officers found the four students dead in their home. And they say there was no sign of forced entry. And then, okay, so some of the neighbors were able to recount what they saw or what they heard. One of the neighbors was Jeremy Reagan, and he said, quote, "I went to bed early that night, and then I woke up to a bunch of normal. And then a couple hours later, we got a message, and there was a bunch of police here." He said, and then that was the end of normalcy for the past week or so here. And the house was actually described as busy and loud, there were people there a lot at late hours. It was kind of like a party house. There were parties a lot, so that's just interesting. And then there are some possible, I guess, pieces of evidence, but nothing's really clear yet. So the ex-boyfriend of Kaylee Goncalves was actually called by Kaylee. So Kaylee called him multiple times the night she and her roommates were stabbed. But what's interesting is that Kaylee's parents said the police would be wasting their time investigating the ex-boyfriend, and they basically said, no, he's not involved at all. He didn't kill them. They had no real evidence as to why they were no, it's definitely not him, but they were very against the idea of him being the killer. And then there was also a tip that one of the victims, Kaylee, had a stalker, but the police said there was no evidence to back this up. So they might like look more into that, but right as of now, there's not a whole ton of evidence for that. And there's just a lot of unknowns right now, and they're trying to figure out a lot of stuff. So I certainly hope they can gain more information about it, just because it's probably a really scary time for all the families of the victims and just everyone living at that college at that time.
Yeah, that is a very strange story. There's been a lot of like murders recently, like a lot of mass deaths. It's very sad. But anyways, moving on to a next update. It's about Brittany Griner, which we've talked about a lot. For a bit of background, Brittany Griner was a female American basketball star, and she basically is like a really big sort of athlete in basketball. And she was going to Russia for an event, like a basketball event, when people be the Russian authorities like confiscated her luggage and found like vape cartridges that had traces of T oh my God, why can't I think of the name? They had traces of cannabis oil, basically.
THC.
Yeah, THC, yeah, that's what I meant. So they found vape canisters with cannabis oil in her luggage, and then they detained her because in Russia that's illegal. And so she had a hearing and she got sentenced to 9 years in prison just for having a vape cartridge, which is kind of outrageous. And a lot of people are like, how is this even possible that she got sentenced to 9 years for having, vape cartridges? And the reason that a lot of people are expecting or like think is true is because Brittany Griner is like a person of influence in America. So if they have her as a captive, she can be kind of used as like a political pawn against the US. And we've talked about that before. If you want like a little more in-depth information about that, you can check out our past updates on her. But yeah, that's basically like why people think that she got such a harsh sentence, but she also got fined around $16,000, and she's gonna have to basically live out those years in jail. And yeah, a lot of people like were kind of like, we have to get her out, like we can trade her for a Russian person that we detained, the US detained. But that hasn't happened yet, and so far it's not looking too good for her. She recently got transferred to a Russian penal colony. A penal colony is basically where they be a like a settlement that is used to exile prisoners and like separate them from the general like communities and place them sort of like in a remote sort of like isolated location. And she got moved to the IK2 female penal colony in the small town of Yavas, which is about 300 miles away from Moscow. And it has around like 820 inmates. So her lawyer said that she's doing as well as she can ex given the government, and it's a very challenging period for her. Her wife and a lot of US officials are working tirelessly to get her out of jail. But the thing about this penal colony is that is it was said to be very like bad, like there was a lot of harsh conditions. A Russian newspaper in 2017 detailed that the IK2 colony had widespread torture, harsh beatings, and even like slave-like labor conditions. Inmates would work from 7 a.m. until midnight, and they couldn't use a washroom a lot of the time. So it seems like the IK2 colony is like very like terrible conditions, like inhumane conditions, especially for her accidentally bringing vape cartridges with her, and it's just like outrageous to think about.
It's a terrible situation. I feel really bad for her just because it's kind of like the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Exactly, yeah.
I think we can end off our first half right there. But stay tuned. We have some more interesting updates in the second half.
Okay.
And oh, by the way, happy Thanksgiving too.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, welcome back from from the break.
Yes. Welcome
All
back.
right. So, do you want me to start us off?
Yeah, you could go ahead.
Okay. So, my update is about Daryl Brooks, and he was sentenced to life in prison. And he drove his SUV into a crowd of people at a Christmas parade a year ago and ended up killing six people as well as wounding others. And the parade was in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And basically, he drove his red Ford Escape through a parade. And it was on November 21st of 2021. It was after he had gotten into a fight with his ex-girlfriend. And then he just basically drove his SUV, like through a huge parade of people. And it was terrible. Yeah. Among the victims was an 8-year-old boy who was marching with his baseball team and then Dancing Grannies, which is basically like a beloved dancing group in Wisconsin. So, like, some of the members of that group were also killed during the incident. And the jury found Brooks guilty to on all 76 counts related to the attack, including 6 counts of intentional first-degree homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon, which was the car. And during the trial, Brooks spoke a lot. He said he struggled to understand like why it happened and why he did what he did. He said, quote, "The why, the how could life ever get this far away from what it should be? Regardless of what a lot of people may think about me, about who I am, about my family, about my beliefs, I know who I am." And he also said, Brooks also said he would take the high road and he wouldn't throw shots at anyone. But then he started verbally like attacking one of the attorneys for prosecution, saying he will never respect them, never respect, quote, how they did their job, and claiming the crimes were none of their concern. And he did apologize once during the trial, saying that no one can see the regret he feels. But still, like, it's not enough to make up for what he did. And in June, he had entered into a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity, because that can be a defense for like a criminal trial. He was saying he wasn't like mentally able to function normally during the incident. He had a ton of mental issues, is what he was saying, that caused him to do what he did. But the plea was actually withdrawn by his attorney at the time, and then his attorneys like withdrew themselves from representing him. So during the trial, he actually represented himself. So he had no lawyers like to represent him. And Brooks, like, he made a lot of remarks about like his past and how that caused him to like be like mentally insane and like all this stuff. But really, at the end of the day, he was still sentenced to life because there were like a lot of trials from like loved ones of like the victims. Over 40 people delivered statements about their losses and how the incident affected them, how terrible it was. And a lot of people had a lot of conviction about him like going to jail and him having life in prison. And the judge, Jennifer Doro, said, quote, "The trial is unlike anything that I've ever been a part of. The sheer magnitude of the crime, the number of people impacted, how they were impacted, the vicious, senseless nature of it." So she definitely did not rule in favor of him. She gave him life in prison. And I'm sure that the families, hopefully the loved ones, can get some peace from that.
Yeah, definitely. That's awful. It's I
Yeah.
can't even imagine what has to go through your mind to think you should just run a car into a parade. It's awful.
Right. Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay. That being said, I'll move on to our next update. Of course, to everyone who has like family or like known people who died and any of the things we talked about, we're really sorry and we hope you guys are getting the help and the comfort that you need.
Yeah.
Okay, but this next update is about kind of Elon Musk, kind of Trump. Elon Musk is just the weirdest person ever. He's so
Yeah.
strange. We talked about him so much because he's just so weird. Like I genuinely don't think he's like actually a human. He's just like a robot. I don't know. He's very strange. But
He's very unique.
so weird. But basically, we talked about how he like was negotiating the Twitter deal for like months. And he was like going to buy it and then he backed out of it and then just recently he randomly bought it, like officially bought it. And so he's like the official owner of Twitter now. He I think last week or the week before, we talked about how he fired the CEO and this other lead official of Twitter. And he's been doing a lot of things that have gained a lot of popularity on Twitter, or at least attention. But recently, the biggest thing he's done was reinstate the Twitter account of President Donald Trump. So the former President Donald Trump, like we said, he got his Twitter account banned because he, sort of instigated the January 6th insurrection, which is something that a lot of people felt passionate about, because his tweets kind of promoted the idea that the election was stolen, which kind of added wood to the fire about rioting the Capitol. So they the former Twitter officials kicked him off permanently. But ever since Elon Musk regained or sorry, ever since Elon Musk got control over Twitter, he's talked a lot about making sure that there would be more freedom and speech and stuff. So he thought that Trump's removal from Twitter was kind of unjustified, and he has the right to say what he wants. So he put a poll on his Twitter account, Elon Musk did, saying that if you vote yes or no, I'll decide whether to put Trump back on Twitter or not. So he basically put a poll up, and it was whether you want Trump back on Twitter or not. And the final result of the poll was 51.8% of users saying that they want Trump back on Twitter, and 48.2% saying no, they don't want Trump back on Twitter. So it's pretty much a 50-50 split. But at the end of the day, the people decided to reinstate Trump's Twitter account. So Musk, basically just listening to the people, reinstated his account. And he has the same amount of followers, and it's just very weird. Or sorry, that he doesn't have any followers because his follower account was reset. But it's just very strange. But Trump, in response to this, said that he would not return to Twitter if reinstated, and he said that, quote, "Truth Social is through the roof, and I'll be staying here." Truth Social is the social media company that he founded after getting kicked off Twitter. So he basically said that he won't go back, and he'll just stay on his own social media. Yeah, so that's just kind of it's just very interesting. I think it's so weird how Musk put up a poll to decide on a really big important decision about whether to put Trump back or not. It's kind of like he's just kind of playing his own little video games. It's so weird.
Yeah, that is very interesting. He's really taking the opinion of the public, I guess, but it's just
Yeah, he is
weird.
just very strange. But
Very
anyways.
interesting. All right, are you ready for my next update?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, let me get to it. Unfortunately, this one is yet another shooting. We've had so many shootings recently. It's really terrible. And this was a shooting that took place on Walmart, and there's not a whole lot known about it now because it actually happened on Tuesday night, which was last night. So I checked this morning and there were all these updates about it, but it's kind of new updates because they don't know a lot about motive or why it happened yet, but there is a lot of information about the incident itself. So on Tuesday night, at least six people were killed inside of Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia, and four other victims are in hospitals with unknown conditions. So they're not sure if they're doing well or not. And the shooter was actually a manager at Walmart who had worked there since 2010. And he's actually dead as well. But one of the employees who survived the attack and witnessed the shooting and everything that happened said the shooter was a manager she was, quote, told to look out for because there was always something going on with him having an issue with someone. So he didn't like people, I guess, or he had disagreements. But the employee said that they were all gathered in the break room before the beginning of their shift so they could figure out where each of them was going to work and allocate that work. And then they said, quote, "As soon as my team lead said, 'All right, guys, we have a list light night tonight,' I looked up and the manager just opened the door and he just opened fire. And the shooter said nothing. He just went in there, opened fire. He was the employee said, quote, he wasn't aiming at anybody specifically. He just started shooting throughout the entire break room. In Chesapeake, Police Chief Mark Soleski said he's not aware of any other weapons besides a pistol used in the shooting. And the gunman was dead by the time the police entered the store. So, yeah, it's just such a weird incident. And the city of Chesapeake said in a tweet that it was working with Walmart to provide assistance to those impacted by the shooting. And President Biden also released a statement mourning another horrific mass shooting in America that left at least 6 people dead. In the statement, he also promised that the federal government is ready to provide any necessary assistance and called for, quote, greater action on gun reform, saying that that was necessary. So, yeah, I can't believe it's just happening so frequently.
I know. So the shooter was the manager?
Yeah, he was working at Walmart.
That
yeah.
Was so weird.
It is weird because it's like, and obviously he had some like behavioral issues because people said to like look out for him. So it's interesting that he was like still like working there and had been working there since 2010 because that's like 12 years. So
yeah. That is awful. There's just so many shootings. I feel like every day there's a new shooting, and it's sad because they're all like mass shootings that you don't even have to you don't even really have time to think about one before the next one happens. It's just one after another, and it's ridiculous, and something needs to change to stop them. But the last update hopefully is a little less heavy. It's about Cristiano Ronaldo. So recently the World Cup has been going on, and there's just a lot of talk about the World Cup. There was like a big upset when Saudi Arabia beat Argentina the other day, and there's just like a lot of things that are going on about the World Cup. So like football or soccer, whatever you call it, has been like very common like place of talking. So Cristiano Ronaldo is like arguably one of the best players of all time. Some may even call him the best. And he currently plays for Manchester United, which is like basically like a club team. It's not like it's not a part of the World Cup or anything, but it is like one of the club teams, like in Colorado or like in California, the football team is like the Chargers and the Broncos. Like it's like that type of thing, but it's like more of an international football or soccer football thing. Cristiano Ronaldo is 37, and he has agreed to leave Manchester United in a mutual termination of his contract following an interview he did with Piers Morgan, where he basically like badmouthed Manchester United and his manager and basically like everyone involved in it. He appeared on the show called Uncensored, which is hosted by Piers Morgan, and he said he felt, quote, betrayed by the club and claimed that like the officials were kind of like icing him out. And he said he was left off the squad for the team's match against Fulham. He said that he thought that Manchester United was trying to like force him out and that he had like no respect for the manager, which is Erik ten Hag. And the statement was issued by the club on Tuesday, and it read, Cristiano Ronaldo is to leave Manchester United by mutual agreement with immediate effect. So the club thanked him for his contributions with 145 goals and 346 appearances, and they said they wished him well, but obviously there's, like, a lot of bad blood between him and the team, because, I mean, obviously it's a big deal to go on, like, international television and say that he doesn't respect his manager and he's made zero progress on the club, so it's kind of a tough situation for the team, because now it's kind of, like, all his fans sort of hate Manchester United. And it's just a lot of, like, turmoil. He did say that he loves Manchester United and the fans, and that will never change. But he felt like it was the right time to change and seek a new challenge. I wish the team every success for the remainder of the season and its future. But currently, he's just focusing on the World Cup, in which he plays on Portugal. They're going to face Ghana on Thursday, which I think is tomorrow. And so he's kind of just preparing for the World Cup and sort of keeping the club situation out of mind. But yeah, that's basically it for our updates this week.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, and again, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you eat a lot of good food.
Yeah, hope you I remember what you're thankful for, eat a lot of good food, and just spend time with your family. Hopefully you guys have a great holiday and Black Friday too, which is always fun.
Right, there are always a ton of sales on Black Friday, so.
Yeah, and it's just fun to go out in the cold and fight people for discounted bed sheets.
Yes, exactly. So happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. And as always, follow us on social media, check out our website, check out everything in the bio, and stay tuned.
All right, bye.
Bye.